live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters. You're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
How's it going again, gentlemen? This is your boy, Scott McKay, coming at you with another episode of the Mountaintop Podcast. Today, we're going to do something a little different than we've ever done before, which is always a good thing. And I have a guest who's a new friend of mine who's going to shed some light on a topic that you guys have been burning a hole in my inbox with. And that's this whole idea of consent. How do I really know this woman wants me to kiss her? When it's time to do the wild thing, when it's time to go to the bedroom, how do I know that she's not going to cry rape afterwards because I boneheadedly did something stupid and screwed up everything? Well, Mike Domish from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is the founder and director of the Date Safe Project. And this is what this guy lives and breathes. He goes and talks to businesses, schools, universities, radio shows, podcasts like this one, anywhere he can find an audience to talk to them about this whole idea of consent. And you're going to find out that he's very guy friendly. After all, he is, like you and I, a guy. So without any further ado, Mike, welcome, man.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure because this is something that guys really want to talk about. They just light up my email with it. And it's always like, all right, well, here's what happened. You know, I am a freshman in college and they herded us all into a room and ambushed us with, don't ever touch women. Women don't want you to touch them. Anytime you even look at a woman, it's basically the gateway drug to rape. You all are harassers or even rapists in waiting, and just please don't go there. And they go, have a nice day. And these guys just feel like terrible human beings simply because they were born with a penis. Or alternatively, I get men who had a woman over for the old Netflix and chill, and she starts a tickle fight with him in the middle of the movie. And because he knows he should be a gentleman and be hands off about this stuff, he doesn't really touch her. He doesn't dare kiss her. He stays that gentleman. And then he's a little confused when she gets up and slams the door and says, yeah, don't ever call me again. And then they write me and say, what went wrong here? What did I do wrong? So I know you have a lot to say about this idea of how men can really accurately go about finding out for sure whether this woman wants to be kissed or not. You have a book called Can I Kiss You, which we'll talk about later. So what do you tell these guys, Mike?
Well, first of all, let's go to the college description that you gave where they herded us into a room and they told us don't ever touch anyone and they made us all feel like predators and assailants. There are times when universities do a poor job of addressing this issue. And I work with on a lot of universities throughout North America. I work a lot on military installations around the world. And there are people that mean well, that go to extremes and do harm to a important discussion and or movement. So that can happen. But keep in mind, almost never, even when they're poorly done, almost never does a university say, you don't touch women. You're all rapists. What happens is the collective of maybe some of the guys in that room feel guilty because some of the things are being discussed they've done or their friends have told them they should do. And they start to feel like the person's talking about them personally, which they're not. But because of their own behaviors, they start to feel guilty. And what they do is they fire back at the information and go, this is horrible. It's man-hating. It's saying we're all jerks. We're all rapists. Because if I fire back at that information, I don't have to look in the mirror and go, well, maybe there's something I am doing wrong here. Now, maybe not extreme. Maybe something minor. But I don't even look at it if I just say they're all man-hating. They're all saying we rape. It allows me to really disavow myself from the conversation as a whole and be angry instead of self-perspective, instead of looking inside and saying, all right, what could have helped me from this discussion? What can I learn from this discussion?
Okay, so before we get on to the second part of what I just presented, I do want to make a point that you are saying something I think has real validity.
Yeah, it's so important because, I mean, I've been in a lot of these schools where I've seen it handled correctly and where I've seen it handled poorly. And never is the poorly as extreme as people make it sound. Poorly, it's still bad. Don't get me wrong. At times it can be bad. But it's never to that extreme. And when I myself had somebody come up that fired up, this is what they'll often do. They'll be like, how dare you say I'm this? Now, they were one person out of 500 in a room. In no way did I even know that who that human being was in the room, which means the mirror was really bothering them that they were looking into while we were talking. Because you literally say, literally, I was not talking about you. I don't even know your history. I don't know your behaviors. what did I say that hit you so hard?
Right. And that's what I'm alluding to. Guys will take it really personally. Like, my gosh, you're calling me a rapist and I wouldn't do this. It's like, I get this report all the time from men when they're taken to, say, a sexual harassment seminar at work or in the military. They feel like they're getting talked at. It's like, look, we know you're going to do this. Don't do it. And they feel like they've been falsely incriminated and accused. Meanwhile, every woman in the room is thinking to themselves, okay, there were a few bad apples that made this necessary. Let's get on with it. We're all basically decent people here. We'll get over it. All the men are taking it personally, and all the women are like a lot more level-headed in their assessment of what is going on here and why it's happening. That's what I've noticed based on the various reports of both men and women that we've talked to over the past decade or so.
Well, and that's the interesting part, is that from a gender perspective, a lot of women are sitting in those programs going, this is a yeah, duh, because I've experienced that, or my friends have experienced that, where the guys have not had that perspective. And they're sitting there going, how can you say that? How can you say that men do that? I don't do that. Well, if you don't do that, calm down. What's the problem here? Why are you taking it personal if you don't do that? They're referring to the ones who do. And the women in the room have seen it. Like you said, that's why they're like, yes, this happens. Let's keep moving the conversation forward. They're not, as you and I both know in this conversation, we're being general here, because there are men who have experienced this. There are women who experience this, all genders on both sides. But here, you know, you're asking male, female. So yes, that's an important perspective to consider, is that why are the women not as offended? Because they've seen it and they understand the perspective more likely than the guy in the room does, who thinks, I would never do that. Okay, then calm down if you wouldn't do that. Keep your eye out for those who are and stop them.
Okay, so right on. And what about the other side of the situation? Here's a guy who did, in my vernacular, what's called failing to deploy. The woman clearly wanted to be kissed. And he's like, well, no, I'm supposed to be a gentleman. Then she leaves and he just doesn't know what went wrong. After all, women don't want to be touched. Women don't want to be kissed. How could that have been handled better?
Well, that's the first problem. That any gender doesn't want to be touched, doesn't want to be kissed, doesn't want to be intimate is just ridiculous. There are individuals who that's true of. They're asexual. They do not have the same feelings, the same urges. But for the most part, you're choosing to be on a date. Often that means you are interested in this person. You are interested in at least learning, discovering about them, and there may be an attraction there that's very possible. So the perception that nobody wants to be touched, that's their problem right off the bat. They're going into a date thinking, oh, I'm bad to them, I'm evil to them. They probably wouldn't have gone on a date if that was true. You know, they probably would not have chosen to be with you if that was true. So what you need to learn is, one, how to communicate so that you get past these preconceived notions that you have with the person you're in this moment with, how to be able to use your words. What you're describing, Scott, is so important because this has always been true. In other words, you can talk to men from 50 years ago who were saying, yeah, I was on a date. I just read it wrong. I was trying to be a gentleman and I never pursued anything. And she was offended that I didn't pursue anything. That complaint has been here forever. And what's interesting is that when you learn the proper way to approach consent and your words, you can actually completely knock that concern out and make this way easier in the dating world, which is, if you think there's a connection, why don't you look the person in the eyes and share that you think there's a connection? Are they feeling the same thing? Nothing is more attractive than confidence. And when you can look someone in the eyes and say the words that you want to say with confidence, not in fear, but you actually want to have this conversation, it can be a tremendous turn on. Now, on the flip side, people will hear that and go, well, I was once asked and it turned me off. Okay. The asking probably wasn't what turned you off. There was probably not a connection. It was easier to blame the asking.
What you're saying is incredibly interesting. And I do want to reiterate something here. In the example I gave, it wasn't merely a date, but they were in the dark alone at this guy's house and she was voluntarily there. And he's still thinking, my God, I'm a rapist if I touch her. So it is a very real concern. It's not an isolated incident. Guys are coming to me going, I don't even know what to do. Now, I love what you're saying, Mike, about how there's sort of a way to bring this all out in the open. And I'm assuming that's even in the context of a romantic dance where things just feel like they happen naturally. Correct?
Yeah, exactly. And the guy thinking, well, if I touch her, I'm going to rape her. If you touch her against her will without her consent, you sexually touching her, we're talking about a sexual assault. I hope you're not sitting there going, well, I'm going to sexually assault her, because that means you're actually, you think you're going to do something against her will. So how do you make sure that it's not against your partner's will? Well, you ask. And the thing is that when I say that, you ask, a lot of guys out there are sitting there, what am I supposed to be, like Steve Urkel or some nerdy character from TV or the movie and go, can I kiss you? That's literally what they picture, their worst case scenario. And what I do is I say, guys, flip it. What if your partner, who you're really turned on by, looks you in the eyes and says, tonight has been amazing. I am so attracted to you right now. May I kiss you? Almost every guy is like, I would love that. Are you kidding me? I would love for that to happen. That would make things so much easier. Why don't you think your partner would love the exact same thing?
I love where you're going with this because, man, I'm going to tell you straight up, Mike, to every guy looking at the title of your book, they think the checklist is coming. Can I kiss you? A guide to consent. You know, it's like, oh my God, am I going to have to sit here and say to every woman, wait, talk to the hands. I have a checkbox to check off. Can I kiss you? Yes or no? And the woman has to go, yes. And, you know, presumably these guys are thinking you're going to be like all Pollyanna-ish, pansies and roses, thinking, oh yes, she's going to go, well, the answer is yes. And thank you for asking. It's like almost as awkward as having to stop during sex to put a condom on. And we all know we have to do that. So, I mean, what is this? Yet another point of awkwardness we're all going to have to accept. But look at what you just did. You said, hey, look, guys, no one's asking you to give up being smooth and cool and romantic. We know women love that moment as much as you. You can be a little creative with it, but just make sure you know where you stand. Because, I mean, isn't it great to know where you stand? Whether you're the guy who wants to make that move and can't wait till he does, or you're that guy who's thinking, oh, no, I have to be a gentleman. Either way, you're left wallowing in your self-doubt, or you're wondering what to do when, in theory, your theory, you should just come right out with it and be bold. And you're right. That boldness and that confidence works. What I want to avoid if I'm a guy is what happened to me when I was 20 years old, when I was out with this cute little blondie who came from a nice Christian background, and she was an only child and her mommy and daddy basically worshiped her. And I thought she was adorable, but I knew she was a real good girl. And then we were on our third or fourth date, and I stood at her front door with her and I said, can I kiss you? And I kid you not, Mike, she sat there and she went through all the file cards in her mind and struggled right before my very eyes, like, looking up to the right, you know, kind of squinting, wrinkled her nose at me in this little cute way and going, oh boy, you know, and then she'd start to say something and not, it went on what felt like an hour. And it was at least 30 seconds. And she looked at me and said, no, what a nightmare. But see, what happened was like 2 days later, I got her in a romantic situation and I stopped and I paused and I looked her in the eye and she squared up her hips with mine. I tilted my head, she tilted hers, and we kissed. Was that not consent?
So it brings up a good question.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Did she, the 2 days before, absolutely want you at that second and totally didn't want you because you asked? Or was it the 2 days later she was ready? Odds are it was the 2 days later, she was ready. All right. And so what we do is this is very normal. We take the moment of rejection and we look at what caused it. Instead of, okay, maybe the person didn't want that at that moment. Don't take it personal. There are moments that even if you're married, you're in long-term relationships, sometimes your partner's in the mood, sometimes your partners aren't in the mood.
Okay, hold on a second. I don't usually interrupt my guests, but I want to say something very, very important. It also might mean not yet.
Yes, that's right. Maybe that's just not yet.
I do want you, but you know, I want a few more dates so I don't feel slutty or I don't feel socially awkward. My own wife, on our fourth or fifth date, kicked me out of her house into an ice storm, like it was a hockey rink outside, because she was just not going to let me stay at her house. Now, was she rejecting me? No, it was because she didn't trust herself. She didn't trust her own willpower.
And our insecurities make us try to say, I did something wrong. I did something wrong. I did something wrong. Instead of, nope, that wasn't the right moment. That wasn't the right time. Because here's the thing. If somebody is sexually mature and really wants you, they are not going to be turned off by you asking. Now, let me be clear on that one phrase I said, and sexually mature. There are going to be people you meet out there who are sexually immature, and they want you to read their mind and do everything based on reading their mind so they don't have to speak. Why you should want to run from that situation or at least slow down until they sexually mature is that person's still going to be upset with you when you make a move that they don't want. So it's a mind game you're being set up for that is not good. Like, read my mind, but what if I don't read your mind? Oh, I'm going to be pissed at you. Well, then this is a lose-lose unless I get it exactly right, perfectly right. You don't want to be with somebody who can't even speak words about what they want to do sexually with you. The definition of sexual immaturity is when you engage in sexual behavior, you're incapable of even talking about. Your partner might be that person. So you might have to slow down and help them mature, get to that sexual maturity and comfort so they can use their words, which is a major win-win for every person listening right now. If you and your partner have sexual confidence, so much so that you can talk and use your words.
So much to talk about here. First of all, back on that cute little blonde girl's front porch. Look, Mike, let's call a spade a spade. I blew it. That was awkward. That was the wrong timing, and I was immature. And no wonder she said, well, you know, if that's the way we're going to do this, I don't think the time is right. So I would argue, and I hope you would agree, that not all asking is created equal. Okay? So I would argue it was a little smoother and a little bit more polished a couple of dates later. And that had, I don't know, maybe something to do with it as well as the bit about time passing. Now, give me a yes or no. That bit 2 days later, without me actually physically, verbally asking her, can I kiss you? Was the consent still there? I'm still waiting for an answer on that one.
Well, you said she kissed you back and you continue to kiss. And that's where by most, you know, and I try to veer away from the law because I like to talk more from a right or wrong perspective. But you're going to say that you were, that she kissed you also at that point. And so that's where it gets messy.
I agree.
Say. So I don't want to legally give anybody an answer, but here's what I would say about that.
Go ahead.
Hey, is that consent or is that not consent? If she had not wanted it, then you would not have known till after the kiss. She would have pushed you away, maybe said no, or maybe said nothing because a lot of people are taught, don't make the date feel bad. Don't make him feel bad. So you may have never have known. So what happened? She experienced intimacy she did not want because we were afraid that if we said the wrong thing, it would ruin the moment. She shouldn't have to go through that.
Now, see, that's scary to men because we hear there are women out there who have been taught to be compliant, never say no, to be passive, maybe even by abusive fathers. They've been taught this, and it's wrong for them to think that. And of course, it's wrong for anyone, male or female, to have such horrible self-esteem that they think they have to say yes to everybody. And guys are thinking, well, God, I don't want to do that to the poor girl either. So what am I left with? Even if she agrees to kiss me, maybe I'm still wrong. So this all comes back to you saying, okay, this is why we have the conversation capitalized. And I'm on board with you about that. So agreed, obviously. 2 dates later, little blonde girl wanted to kiss me. Now, I didn't steal a kiss. I didn't grab her and kiss her and say, you will kiss me. I just tilted my head and waited for her to tilt hers. So yeah, no real conversation, but I think that is kind of a nonverbal conversation because if she didn't tilt her head, I mean, come on now. But I think even a smoother move right in that moment when she tilted her head, I could have suggested in a whisper, it's time for our first kiss. And she would have gone, oh, definitely. Now that's a conversation.
Right. And you used your words. And here's the catch to go back to what you said before. Somebody says, well, if I ask, they might just say yes out of pity. Pay attention to how they answer. I mean, that's huge. So the example would be, hey, may I kiss you? And the person goes, well, I guess. Well, I don't want an I guess. I want this to be mutually amazing.
It's not a hell yes, it's a no, right?
Right, right. So if the person's going, well, what if they're just saying yes to make me happy? Pay attention. If they're going, well, I guess, they make a comment like that, it's clearly more likely they're trying to make you happy. They don't want to make you uncomfortable. And just pause and go, well, no, I want you to want this. The last thing I want is an unwanted or uncomfortable for either of us. So I'll slow this down till you're ready. I don't want to rush you into this. And that's what the words allow to see happen. Here's what happens when someone thinks, well, I'm just going to go for it. If they're in the moment, they're in the moment. You don't know till afterwards, like we just said. Two, even while you're kissing, because you have spoken no words, you have no foundation for what's okay to happen next. So what do most people do out there? Well, I'm kissing, now I'll try to move my hand into a certain location. Right? And it's guessing on another human being's body as if you have the right to test their sexual areas of their body until they stop you.
You know what I do, Mike? Or I did before I was married? I didn't touch her there until she touched me there. Anywhere. I mean, right. You know, if we're embracing, we're hugging, okay, that's fine. But, you know, I'm not going to start grabbing body parts until she does it first. And if they like you, they will. If they trust you, they will.
And here's the other catch to that, is that not everybody listening is going to want to be touched the way they're being touched by them. In other words, if I say, hey, I'll wait till they touch, and I don't want to be touched, I would need a sexually assertive, confident partner to be the assertive one, obviously, in that case, instead of me. And it would require that I'm going to be comfortable with anything they proceed down there or that path of route of going. I'd rather have, hey, instead of sitting here and waiting, let's use our words and get to the point. Because here's the good thing about consent. When you learn how to use your words, you save a lot of time. I mean, a ton of time.
I can see, I'm starting to see your light here. I'm starting to see exactly why this is actually a gift to men. But I think the caveat remains, Mike, you got to be smooth. And this is where a lot of guys really struggle. It's like, well, I don't even know what to say to her when I meet her, let alone when it's time to go to the bedroom or it's time to have the first kiss. So I want to teleport us back to that dark living room where we're Netflixing and chilling with a girl.
Yeah, let's go there because, Mike, I don't even know what to say to her. You know what? Then don't be trying to engage with this person sexually if you can't even talk. You're not going to have amazing mutual sex when you can't even communicate.
Ouch.
So
rough.
So yeah, but it's true. And
it
so
is.
It's not about being smooth. It's about being honest and confident. If the moment you think I have to be smooth, you're going to bomb because very few of us believe honestly in the mirror we're smooth. We might think we're honest, we're caring, we're gentlemen, we're womanly, whatever words people want to use. But smooth is not one that most people believe in.
Well, hold on a second. We're going to have to peacefully coexist on that one because I'm all for teaching guys how to be smooth. But if you'd prefer, let's talk about creative and fun instead of deathly serious.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm not saying smooth is bad. I'm saying, as you know, because you coach, people struggle believing they're smooth. So if they think I'm not smooth, they'll avoid even trying to do the smooth thing. They'll just freak out like the guy that you're describing in the Netflix and chill scene. He just does nothing because he thinks he isn't smooth. So don't think you have to be smooth. Learn to be confident in what you are asking, you're pursuing, and that will naturally be smooth. It's authentic. It's who you are. That shows confidence.
Well, I would argue the guy in the Netflix and chill scene is thinking he's being a gentleman because he's been brainwashed to believe women don't even want to be sexual.
Well, yeah, and I don't know who's brainwashing him there, but yes, if he's with somebody, maybe that person that moment doesn't want to be, but maybe they do want to be. That's why you need to talk. You need to get a vibe for where things are at. I know people that are brilliant at the start of a date, and we even teach this in the book, Can I Kiss You?, which is you want to see where somebody stands early on a date? Ask at dinner, not at 11 at night when you're back and you're wondering where is this going to go. Ask at dinner, hey, you know what? I don't know about you. Do you hate it when these first dates get awkward at the end? And almost everyone will say, yeah, I hate that too. Great. I don't want that to be awkward for you. So I don't want to make assumptions and I don't want to make you uncomfortable at any point. So if you feel there's a connection, feel free to let me know. And if I feel there's a connection, I'll let you know. I'll ask. So you don't have to worry about me getting creepy or weird or uncomfortable. I want this to be a lot of fun tonight for both of us.
Fair enough. It's kind of like you shouldn't have the STD conversation while you're putting a condom on.
Exactly.
You need to have that before you get all hot and bothered for each other.
You got it.
Let me put my coaching hat on for a sec. All right, Netflix and chill scene. Girl hits boy with pillow and is giggling. Boy does nothing or boy jumps on her and attacks her. Well, both of those are probably the wrong move. Granted. What's this great happy medium we keep alluding to? Well, how about, for example, you know, if I didn't know any better, I would think you're trying to start trouble with me. And she's going to give you, oh, yes, I am. Oh, what kind of trouble is that? And she'll tell you, well, you come over here and you're about to find out. It's like, you know, it seems like you might be ready to be kissed about now. And then you're having that fun and it's playful. And playful is like catnip to women. It just makes them hot. So that is a wonderful way to go about that. That would be a way of having the conversation in quite a literal sense. And it's still fun. It's not awkward. It's not Steve Urkel, which I love the analogy there. It's hilarious. Some of these guys probably don't even know who Steve Urkel is because they're 22 years old or whatever. Guys, look it up. It's U-R-K-E-L. Watch some clips. You'll laugh. I'm going to ask you about two other things. Rapid fire here because I'm just incredibly intrigued to know what your take on it is going to be. The first one is the whole idea of what happens when you're taking a woman by the hand to the bedroom and she knows and you know both where this is headed. And the way I like to picture it is she puts her little lady paws on your chest and goes, should we be doing this?
So what you do right there, should we be doing this? Say, well, what would you love to do? Because you don't know what this is. Here's the catch to those scenes, right? We assume that when we go into the bedroom, and I say we as in a society, that we're going to have sex, right? And you go, okay, what kind of sex are you going to have? And that's what people don't know. The person going in thinks we're having the kind I want. That's what's in their mind, but they haven't talked. And these two might want very different things in that bedroom. And then one gets mad at the other for not going as far as they hope. And like you said, be playful, right? The person's saying, hey, watch, you're going to get in trouble. And you say, what kind of trouble are you talking about? What kind of trouble would you like to have? Or they say, well, maybe you could touch me. Where would you love me to touch you? How do you love to be touched? If you're playful and fun with it, it's not creepy at all. It's the fear that people think that if I speak my words, I'm going to get creepy. Not unless you're acting like a creep. I mean, be aware of the scenario you're in. Do it with respect and fun and pleasure, and it can be wonderful.
Now, this is like I've always said. Guys sometimes think that all men are deemed to be creepy, weird, and pushy by all women, which again is part of that poisonous mindset we've been fed to believe by certain media outlets or certain angry women, and we just take it to heart. When in reality, guys, like I've always said, again, you're not creepy, weird, or pushy unless you're creepy, weird, or pushy. You know, you're not those things simply by being male. So here's my take on what happens when she says, should we be doing this? I think whatever comes out of your mouth next is what will happen. I think if you say, oh, yes, we absolutely should be doing this, and you're about to get the most amazing orgasms you've ever experienced. Now, she can say no at that point. Well, no, that's not what I had in mind. But chances are she's looking for the validation. She's looking for the leadership. And, you know, on the other side, imagine if you say, well, you know, you're right. We don't know each other very well, and I certainly don't want to push you, and I want to go really slow. She'll probably go, oh, okay, good. Let's do that. I agree. Whereas if you would have said, oh, absolutely, we're going to do this, I'm going to give you orgasm, she's like, ugh, take me. It's like whatever you say is what's going to happen, because she's already taken your hand and she's already being led to the bedroom and she knows it. If she goes, look, no, I don't think this is going to happen at all, she's going to draw that line in the sand, right?
So I would say no, not necessarily. Keep in mind what you said earlier, that women are taught to be pleasers and to be submissive. So should we be doing this at all might be her one way of feeling comfortable about questioning what's happening. And if the partner says, I'm about to give you the most amazing orgasms in the world, she could even feel worse about saying no, because that was the window to be able to pause this thing. And this person's potentially coming off as arrogant. I'm about to give you the greatest orgasm in the world. You don't even know what kind of sex I want yet. How do you know that's going
to
happen?
Well, come on, hold on a second. I'm assuming there was a little chemistry before we get led to the bedroom.
Sure, there can be chemistry, but that doesn't mean that this is going to be the greatest thing ever. This doesn't mean that I'm ready to go that far with you. I might want to just be a little playful and not have that orgasm. I might not even be looking for that orgasm. It might not be what I want. But if I've been taught not to use my voice, because my gender has been taught if I use my voice that I can be degraded for that, I can be a slut, I can be those different things, I might use a question like, should we be doing this, as a way for me to be able to use my voice without being judged negatively in any direction about the fact I am questioning this. And if I say, look, let's just do this, I'm not answering your question. I'm actually saying, we're going to do what I want. That's how it can come off. And we hear this. We hear many women who come to us and go, guys think that being confident means conquering. And when they make statements like that, it totally sounds like they're about to conquer.
Well, hold on a second. I didn't say, yes, we're going to do this, whether you like it or not. It's simply yes. She's saying, are we going to do this? My answer is yes.
Oh, you had originally said, should we do this?
She says, should we do this?
Right.
My answer is, it's either going to be, oh, absolutely, you know, to paraphrase it, there'd be more behind it that's kind of cute and flirty. Or, you know, you're right. Maybe we shouldn't do this. Because the assumption is by her saying that, it's last minute resistance, as some of the pickup guys would call it, which is a term I can't stand. But it's her trying to tell you, I don't want to do this, when maybe that's not what she's doing. She's just looking for a man to lead. So given what you just gave as an answer, Mike, I understand the validity of what you're saying, but it doesn't change the fact that guys' circuits are being melted by, oh my God, this is the yes means no thing. I am a rapist, even if she says yes.
Where do you draw the line? Not at all. Here's what we're saying, because she didn't say yes there. You did. Right. So she said, should we be doing this? It was not a yes, no, do you want to do this certain thing? Right. It was just, should we be doing this? So the smart thing to do would be there. She's the one questioning at that point. You're not questioning. She's questioning. So say, doing what? Have a little fun with the question. Should we be doing this? Doing what? Now what's going to be fun is what does she think's about to happen? Right. If she says, well, messing around or having sex. Well, those are two different answers. Right? So you might get a different vibe, or making out. Well, that's not having sex. That's a different answer. All right. So It allows you to learn where they're coming from. And we in no way are implying that if someone says yes, a sober person says yes to you, that they're doing that and it can be turned against you. No, a sober person not being coerced, there's no pressure, you're respecting them, they're respecting you, you both say yes. That's not going to be turned around on you because that's a fear you brought up. Guys are afraid that's going to be turned on them. When guys say turned on them, what typically they're referring to is that somebody wakes up in the morning when alcohol's been involved or drugs or other things and realize what happened to them they did not want to have happen. That's not regret. They're literally recognizing a sexual assault. That's completely different than we are both sober. We both choose to do this. And then afterwards, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. That's regret. And that is not sexual assault. And many people have experienced regret after choosing to be sexually active. People who are in marriage, you know, you were saying you're married. There are probably times in your marriage where the two of you afterwards have thought, why'd we do that? Because we sort of were just going through the motions. That's not in any way an assault or sexual assault. That's regret. There's a huge difference.
Well, I think a lot of these guys read ESPN, Mike, and they look at what happened with Derrick Rose and the Derrick Rose trial for sexual assault, and it's every one of their nightmares.
Well, and here's the thing. You know how you make it not your nightmare? You make sure that this person is a free mind. Their alcohol is not being used to facilitate the situation. Drugs are not being used to facilitate the situation. And that you've been able to engage in such a great conversation. There is no doubt they want this. Look at all those trials. And what you tend to see is assumptions. That's what you see. You find, well, they went back to my place. It was 2 a.m. So I thought this was going to happen. That's what happens after all, 2 a.m, right? No, that's not what always happens at 2 a.m. Sometimes they go back and they realize that I'm not in the mood for this, or I want to go this far, but not that far. And they have that choice. They have that right to do that. But what happens is they see it in the news. They think, oh, these guys are getting targeted. You know how many people a lot of these athletes are sleeping with? And so is there a possibility that sometimes a couple of these athletes overstep their bounds and do assault? There is a good possibility that's happening. So why are we shocked that a person has the courage to come forward and say, this was done against my will, and we go, oh, they're being targeted. Out of all the times that professional athletes are being sexually active, there's a good chance we have quite a few sexual assaults taking place. We shouldn't be shocked that a survivor is going to come forward and get justice.
So the way I look at it, based on what you just said, is it's a lot easier to avoid the mess by making sure you have the proper conversation, smooth or not, than letting a jury attempt to clean up a mess later.
Yeah, here's what I always tell a guy. If you're afraid that after this sex, you're going to be accused of sexual assault, why are you having sex with this person?
Good question. The whole idea of getting women drunk so you can have sex with them is for guys with no game at all. I mean, that's such rookie stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Not only, you're right, the idea that I'm going to look for, but here's the thing. Our media teaches it, right? 40-year-old virgin, they said, practice on the drunk ones. They literally said that in the movie, and people would laugh at that point in the movie. And that's the messed up part. People don't see that as even a sexual assault, which is really, really, really messed up. If that person doesn't want you sober, don't do anything with that person. That tells you the alcohol is having a major influence. So it's much smarter to, like you said, make sure that if you're going to engage in the sexual activity, you two are able to talk about it and really enjoy it and have fun with the conversation. Know you're doing what each other wants. By the way, sex is going to be way better when you're both doing what you know the other person wants. That's huge, right? And then make sure that everybody's of sound mind. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, impaired sex sucks anyway. And guys with experience know that.
That's right. What does alcohol do? It numbs. It numbs. So if you're telling me that sex is somehow better when you've been drinking, how bad are you at sex?
Last night, my wife's son turned 21 years old. So I took him out and bought him some good drinks, you know, with the top shelf stuff. And I was looking up whiskey cocktails because he said he liked whiskey. And I'm a bourbon drinker and usually don't make cocktails with bourbon. I typed in whiskey cock, hoping it would autocomplete, and it didn't. Isn't that hilarious? It just brought up whiskey cock.
Yes, because that's a term.
Yeah. Now,
typically, the other term of that is, you know, whiskey dick is right. The other version you'll hear more often. And what's sad is there are guys out there drinking more because they believe that helps them last longer. And when we're in front of an audience, it could be college, it could be military, and I will literally go, hey, not getting it up does not count as lasting longer. The room starts dying laughing, all genders of, oh my gosh, that is so true. Then why are you being so stupid to think that the more I drink, it'll help me? No, it will not. It's going to be a massive deterrent. It's going to take away from the experience, and it could get you in a ton of trouble.
All right. Yeah. So in other words, guys, if you're drinking so as to get a little bit of liquid confidence, you might end up with whiskey cock, which is going to obviate the need to even talk about consent or get consent because you're not even going to be in the picture anymore.
Well, that's just it. You're gonna hurt your ability to know what's happening, to make good choices. And people, when I say this, do get confused. They'll go, well, wait a second. If I'm drunk, how can I be the assailant? How can I be the one causing the harm? Well, that's the key word. Who caused the harm is what they look at.
Well, anyone who's ever grown up in a drunken household with an alcoholic father could answer that one for you.
That's correct. So the fact is that you could be the sober one causing harm. You could be the drunk one with another drunk person, and you're the one still causing harm. That's how you get held accountable. And that's why it's just smarter to make sure that people are of sound mind. It's also legally, you should absolutely be doing that because, and from the sex viewpoint, as we both said here, it's going to lead to way better sexual intimacy if you can feel everything, know everything that's happening, and be fully alert.
Agreed, 100%. And a couple minutes ago, you gave me a natural segue to what I think might be the most fascinating and striking part of your work. I mean, this hit me between the eyes when I started looking at your blog and looking at your videos. You talk a lot about how consent is just trivialized in the media and sexual assault is made normal in the media and especially by Hollywood. And you gave example after example after example of clips from movies where the guy just didn't get consent from the woman. And the one that hit me between the eyes was Han Solo and Leia in Star Wars. He just takes her. She doesn't want him. And he takes her anyway. Says, you basically are going to kiss me. And we're like, oh, isn't that cute? And this is a PG movie that all of us as kids worshipped when we were 11 and 12.
Yeah. How many movies has everybody listening seen as an incident where the couple was fighting, arguing, furious at each other, and the man grabs the woman, starts kissing her, and they leads to passionate sex?
Well, I mean, watch The Getaway with none other than the coolest guy of all time, Steve McQueen. He beats up Ally McGraw in that movie, whacks her upside the head.
Yeah, it's incredible. You are correct, Scott, at how much sexual violence you can see in mainstream media, and it's written off as passionate romance. I mean, it's not even close to, they don't even discuss that it's unhealthy. They act like this is the way to handle things. And so what happens is you have a generation upon generation of men thinking, I don't need to ask. I know what she wants. This is how you be a man. You take her. Versus, no, that means you're too afraid to find out the answer. So you think you have to dominate instead. You have to prove your power. It's not what you have to do. If you got real confidence, you don't have to prove or conquer anybody. You can give them a choice, and if you're really that somebody they want to be with, that attractive, that much of a turn on, they're going to love to say yes.
Okay, now, you've just caused me to think about something, by the way, that is rather profound, because for years I've been teaching that the whole idea of men being weak and not being leaders, and the women being the ones who are strong and making all the decisions was rooted in comedic irony. I mean, think of the Honeymooners, right? And I've mentioned this before on the show, so I won't belabor it. Big old Jackie Gleason thinks he's all tough, but as soon as something happens that's a crisis, it's like, humana, 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 and his wife has to save the day. Why is that written into the show? Not because men should be weak and women should make fun of men and men are worthless like we saw in commercials, you know, all over the place about 10 years ago. It wasn't about female empowerment. It was about comedic irony. That was funny. It's not what was expected, therefore we laugh. It's just like Milton Berle coming out in drag. But over the years, we start seeing this again and again. It goes on to the Flintstones and the Jetsons, and finally you get Everybody Loves Raymond, and it's treated almost as if it's normal life. And guys are thinking, okay, well, you know what? Women are in charge now. They don't want us to lead. Guys are supposed to be weak. Guys are always stupid. And that's where the brainwashing happens. So in terms of the movies, for so many years, we've been seeing, even in comedies, hey, let's get them all drunk and have sex with them. And even nowadays, you look at some of the anti-heroes in TV comedies or in movie comedies. Like, for example, one of my favorite shows is Eastbound and Down with Danny McBride. And he's just a jerkwad in that show, and we all know it. And he treats his girlfriend terribly in that show. But meanwhile, there's guys who are seeing so much of that on TV thinking, well, you know, maybe that's not so bad. Maybe I can slap my girlfriend around and stand her up and she'll still come back to me just like Kenny Powers' girlfriend did on TV. And then that's compounded by these movies where you're seeing the guy take the woman and she's saying no and he kisses her anyway and she melts. And we're just left with a vortex of crazy inaccurate information that's just bad for women and bad for us, frankly. I mean, this probably has a lot to do with why guys are failing with women. I mean, it's like, hey, I saw this on TV. How come it didn't work for me too? So it all goes back to the shock of seeing the clip as you present it with Han Solo and Princess Leia. And you go, you know, now that you mention it, that's pretty damn messed up. It's shocking.
Yeah. And what you said is the mass volume of it has had such an impact. To give you an idea, Scott, you wouldn't believe some of the comments that get fired back at us online from men about the simple idea of giving a woman a choice. I mean, they literally use language like it's the pussification of America, because they have grown up under generation and generation of a man means this, you control, you conquer, and it's all about power. And that's all they've seen. And so they use horrific, degrading terms if a guy simply acts with respect, which means that guy's got so much confidence, he doesn't have to prove anything to anyone. He'll just ask his partner, and they're degrading him because he actually doesn't have to prove himself.
Well, I think where you draw the line in terms of being manly and masculine and having the kind of leadership and power that really turns women on versus having the kind of leadership and power that's really abusive comes down to, are you acting in her best interests, and are you giving her the rights and privileges of an adult to make her own decisions and to have conversations with you about this? Related to that whole conversation is how women harp on men that they should be listening, and why can't I find a man who listens? And men are thinking, well, that means she just wants to take charge of me and make me her little child and have me do whatever she wants. When in reality, what women are saying is, how can you make decisions? How can you lead? How can you act in my best interest as a man if you don't even know what my hopes and dreams and wants and fears are? That's what it all comes down to me, is yes, be a man, do those things that turn women on, but you've got to act in a woman's best interest, and you've got to inspire her confidence that you are doing exactly that.
Well, that's just it. Those behaviors turn all genders on, right? Be confident. That's a turn on for all genders. And you said the key thing. There's a huge difference in being confident and being abusive, or arrogant is another great word. Because men will think, well, I'm not abusive, but I know what she wants. Well, know what she wants is arrogant. So don't be arrogant or abusive. Find out. It's a simple solution that gives you so many wonderful answers.
What you're saying is guessing what she wants because it's what you want her to want, giving on your own terms as opposed to asking her and understanding what's on her mind. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Here's a question that we'll ask. We'll say, if you want to have sex with your partner, what's a question you'll ask? Usually people will say, will you have sex with me? Do you want to have sex? Do you want to do this? It's always what the person asking wants. That's not the great question. The great question, if you really want it to be mutual and amazing, is looking your partner in the eye and asking, what would you love for me to do with you in bed tonight? Now it's not, here's what I want, will you do it? Because here's what I want, will you do it? Puts a place of guilt and shame. If you don't, you're not pleasing me, you're disappointing me. Versus discover first what they want. What would you love to do in bed tonight? That's a great question. It's a lot of fun. It's sexy to ask. And you can really learn from each other. All right, this is what you're in the mood for tonight. I'm in the mood for that. Let's go. Or they might say, well, I'm not in the mood for this tonight, but I'd love this. Cool. I'm good with that. Let's have some fun.
Last question before we wrap up, because I know this is something that's on guys' minds. We talk about seduction quite a bit. Seduction has been branded a bad thing, an abusive thing, a manipulative thing, when really that's not the true intent behind what seduction is supposed to be. Seduction is supposed to be that dance that leads to the consent. And I would argue sometimes in a culture where women sometimes feel slutty or shameful for being sexual, which I'm sure is another conversation you could have for another whole hour sometime. Sometimes women want it all to rest on the guy. They want to be taken after the consent happens. They want it to be like, oh my gosh, you have this incredible effect over me. I never knew I would be doing this with you. That way they can sort of be exonerated from the guilt or the blame for this wild, horny, naughty tryst to happen. I'm sure these guys are dying to know how you intersect naughty and, oh my gosh, I didn't expect this to happen with consent.
Well, here's the key. What you just said there is the woman's afraid to have a voice because culture has told her not to have a voice. So the worst thing you can do in seduction is to assume that you know her voice and what she wants, because you're just now running right back into all the stereotypes of a man can know what a woman wants and just give it to her. And if she's sitting there going, oh man, you've had such an impact on me. I never saw myself doing this, but I want this. If that's really where she's coming from and she's really that comfortable with wanting it, you engaging in a fun, seductive conversation about what you both want to do sexually is going to be a blast for her, because you're going to, if she does, let's say that you, she's like, well, I'm just not comfortable talking about this. Say, oh, it's okay. Whatever you do or don't want is okay with me. And I think it's awesome that you have a voice either way. The fact you told me you're not comfortable, I love that, that you can tell me what you want. So what do you want to do? You want to encourage them to have a voice in any direction they want to have it. Because the sooner your partner gets a sexual voice, the less you're playing these mind games we talked about earlier about guessing, trying to do the right thing without getting in trouble. No, give each other a sexual voice. That is a huge turn on. It is a massive win-win for seduction. It's for both of you to look each other in the eye and say, this is what I want. Will you do this right now? Or, like you said earlier, Scott, about don't jump into bed with someone you don't know well enough, is ask them, are there times where you just want to be taken? And when you want to be taken, like, how do you want to be taken? How would you love that? What's a way you would let me know that? So you can make it playful and fun. And know that, of course, at any time, your partner has a right to change their mind. Well, I think you and I are on the same page there. You could both say, yes, take me right now. And 10 seconds later, your partner go, you know what? It's not working. I'm not in the mood. Okay, that's your choice. And I got to respect that. But what's a language, words we want to use? What's something we want to use to say, here's the green light to us doing this, going this direction, and I love this. So you can have fun with it.
You know, one thing that comes to mind based on what you just said is guys really struggle with some of this bad old pickup advice, like never give women compliments. Don't validate her because you're going to seem needy. Always leave her guessing. Gentlemen, there is no better time to give a woman compliments or to validate her or to encourage her when she's getting naked with you in the bedroom. That is when you better be encouraging and validating her. Otherwise, you are going to be really sorry and your sex life is going to suffer.
Well, think about it this way, for anybody listening, do you like to be validated in the bedroom? Of course. So why wouldn't you want your partner to be validated in the bedroom? Especially if you can validate what society says they should do. So if society says don't have a sexual voice, and you can validate, oh, I love it when you talk. I love it when you tell me what you want, how you like it, how you want to be licked, where you want to, oh my gosh, the moment they do any of that and you validate it, it makes it easier for both of you to continue that. And that is fun.
Now that's a fresh, interesting perspective. And guys should go back and listen to that last 30 seconds again and drink it up. This has been a fascinating conversation, Mike. I want to tell these guys how to get a hold of you and your book. And what I've done is I've set up a special URL, as always, at www.mountaintoppodcast.com/kiss, just like K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. And but in this point, I think we're talking about making out. Mike's book is called Can I Kiss You? Now that you know that that title isn't so scary, having met Mike Domish and heard him talk about this stuff, I would encourage you to go visit his website, find out about him, and grab his book on Barnes & Noble or on Amazon. Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. This has been a great conversation, and it exceeded my expectations. It's one of the best shows I think we've had in a long time.
Well, thank you, Scott, for engaging the conversation. It's been wonderful.
And guys, if you want to get coaching, if you're ready to stand up and become the man who's the stuff of legends, if you want to maximize yourself, if you want to be better in your career, better with women, if you want to have more adventure than you've ever had, it's time to go to www.mountaintoppodcast.com/coaching and learn how you can get in touch with me. I'll coach you personally. I also have coaches who are specialists with different areas of expertise. We can find the right coach for you and make sure you start excelling and you maximize your potential. It's all at mountaintoppodcast.com/coaching. And while you're there, sign up for my newsletter, because remember, I give you free actionable advice every day. It's no fluff, all info all the time. Until I talk to you again real soon on the next big show, this is Scott McKay from San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
Mountaintop Podcast is copyright 2016 by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.